live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Thursday night. Flames fall by a 4-3 score in overtime to the Boston Bruins. Flames Talk postgame, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And let's head right to TD Garden for a couple of minutes with Megan Mickelson, who joins us after this one this evening. And Mick, our marquee matchup tonight, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota, was seeing if the Flames could build on that final 40-plus minutes in Montreal, which was really strong on Tuesday. Do you feel like they did that in this game? They fall down 3-1 in the second, they battle back, and then eventually lose in overtime. Felt they did some good things in building on the good things they did in Montreal.
I do, and mainly because their power play scored. So that to me is, we saw some really good 5-on-5 play against Montreal. It was their specialty teams that weren't great, but in this game tonight, like their 5-on-5 play again, but their power play was able to come through. So I thought that that was huge and is a step in the right direction. The one area that they really need to clean up is their starts.
Yeah, and again, allowing a goal just 2:04 into the first period. Marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until May 2025. Let's first get tonight's tonight's hardest working Flame. Mick, which way are you leaning on the hardest worker tonight?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with Connor Zary. I just thought that all night long he was really aggressive on the forecheck, forced a lot of turnovers, but just made some really smart reads and poised plays with the puck all over the ice. And so to me, you look at the game that he had in Montreal, scores a goal after having a really tough night against the Oilers. So I've liked that response from him, and I thought that he took it up another notch and really led the charge up front for the Flames.
Connor Zary, hardest working Flame tonight. Really solid night for him. Last question for you, Mick, before we let you bounce. Kind of telegraphed it coming in. You saw the third period goal differentials. Flames 19-15, Bruins 5-14. So that ups to 21-15 in third periods for Calgary this year. What allows them to be as resilient as they've been and maybe have those third periods be as strong as they've been?
Well, I think the more times that, you know, as a team and as a group that you come back, the more confidence you build in your ability to do that. I think, though, the flip side of that is that they can't continue to let themselves get down a couple goals and have to 100%. Fight and claw your way back. Physically, it's hard. Mentally, it's hard as well if you feel like you're constantly chasing the game. So as much as I've liked their resilience and their confidence and their ability to come back and sort of take over the game and shift the tides and get the momentum back with their energy and their force, check. I think that's been a big part of, you know, kind of shifting the way a game is going is that aggressive forecheck and energy. I would really like to see them, you know, maybe next game it's you go to Buffalo. Now the goal is to get up a couple of goals and to try to protect a lead and play a different way. And that can be refreshing as a player to play with a lead versus feeling like you're always chasing it.
That is next up for the Flames. Saturday morning for the Flames and Sabres at 11 a.m. Mountain. You're the best, Mick. Great stuff. We'll talk to you later this week.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson from TD Garden in Boston, where the Flames fall 4-3 in overtime to the Bruins this evening. We are underway on your Flames Talk postgame show on this Thursday night. Lots to get to. Call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. We'd love to hear from you on this Thursday night. Phone lines open, text line open. A lot to get to on our Flames Talk postgame show. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. And yeah, thought it was kind of a back and forth game. Not a night that you would necessarily say 100%. The Flames were at their very best and at all times. But you know what? That resiliency continues to be a thing and was definitely a thing in this game. I got to say, and Mick mentioned it right there, power play goal to start off the third period changed everything. Kind of an idiotic very Brad Marchand-like penalty to take. And that gets the, you know, that gets things in bad shape for the Bruins right off the get-go and allows Calgary to get a little momentum. And yes, it was a redirect and a change in direction, but really nice play by Yegor Sharangovich to redirect that puck and to get it past Jonas Korpisalo. And if that, you know, if that penalty isn't taken, maybe Calgary doesn't score 58 seconds into period number three, and maybe we're not talking about this comeback happening. But you get that power play goal, probably gets a little bit of a mental monkey off your back as well, and then you can go to work, and then you can, you know, start to turn things and start to go layer after layer, all that type of stuff, which I thought the Flames did a nice job of in period number three. And then Nazem Kadri with the keeper scores the game tying goal. In overtime, could have gone either way. This game honestly could have gone either way. I don't know if you come away from this one tonight feeling like there was a better team or a vastly better team. I thought Boston was maybe a slightly more dangerous team in this game tonight, but they don't score a power play goal. Dustin Wolf makes some really good stops, and that's the other thing. You know, Dustin Wolf starting on consecutive nights. He picks up a win in Montreal, picks up the overtime loss here tonight, so his record will drop to 4-2-1 on the season. But I thought Dustin Wolf, a really strong night as well, makes 34 on 38. Final high dangers in this game were 16-11 in favor of Boston over at our friends at Natural Stat Trick, and 8-7 at 5-on-5. But I thought 5-on-5, this game was pretty close. There were stretches where the Bruins were big time on their heels. There were stretches where the Flames were big time on their heels. And honestly, you know, a Bruins team that's struggling a little bit, they get back to 500 with the win tonight, and a Flames team that is game to play everybody, it feels like. I just thought it was, more than anything else, thought it was a really entertaining game at TD Garden in Boston this evening as well. So lots to get to on our Flames Talk post-game show this evening, as you can give us a call, 403-240-4444. Fire us a text at 960-960. We'd love to hear from you following a Flames 4-3 overtime loss to the Boston Bruins. And Brad Marchand, yes, he was the guy that took the penalty that led to Calgary's first goal in their comeback, the Sharangovich redirect, which was a silly penalty to take. Don't get me wrong. That was straight up silliness from Brad Marchand. But he does end up kind of Brad giveth, Brad taketh away, I guess. Or in this case, Brad taketh and then giveth back, because he scores the overtime winner. Elias Lindholm beats Rasmus Anderson behind the net in a puck battle, feeds it out in front to Brad Marchand all alone, having already hit the post twice in the game. Then he gets stopped point blank by Dustin Wolf. You're thinking, geez, it is not Marchand's night. But unfortunately for Dustin Wolf, that rebound kicked right back to Marchand, which wasn't Wolf's fault. It was a point blank save. You just do whatever you can to stop it. You're not worrying so much about the rebound on a point blanker like that. And nice job by Marchand to stick with it. And then he backhands it past Wolf. 20 seconds to go in overtime. Brad Marchand with the overtime winner. And so he definitely played himself a good night. He was named the number one star at TD Garden in Boston this evening. Okay, we will take a break, come back, and get things going. Phone lines will be open at 403-240-4444. Text line will be open at 960-960. It's your Flames Talk post-game show, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, your final score from TD Garden in Boston. Flames come from behind, force overtime, but eventually fall 4-3 in the extra frame to the Bruins. So Calgary 1-0-1 to start off this three-game road trip that wraps up Saturday morning in Buffalo. Flames Talk post-game rolls on. It's Steinberg along with you. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Text lines open 960-960, and the phone lines open at 403-240-4444. Got one line open if you want to chat on this Thursday night following a 4-3 overtime loss for the Flames. It's time to go from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's head back to TD Garden in Boston and check in with head coach Ryan Huska post-game following tonight's 4-3 overtime loss.
Just maybe, can you describe sort of the ebbs and flows of this hockey game and how you guys kind of hung in there to give yourselves a chance?
know what? I thought it was a good game. It was a hard game. And I liked how our guys, how we stuck with it again. I mean, that's kind of a trademark for our team, is that we always feel like we're still in games. So I'm pleased with how they were a resilient bunch tonight. And that's a big point for us.
For sure. And you look at that third period, and all the guys talked about just the feeling in the room now when you're going into a third down. They never really feel out of it. I mean, how much of a benefit is that to know you have that in you?
Yeah, I think it's something that the players understand, that they have it in the dressing room to be able to do that. You know, we've talked a lot over the last little bit. There's those moments in the game where, you know, they score two goals in short order there. That's what we've got to eliminate from our game. But other things that were positive tonight, our penalty kill was clean and our power play got a goal for us. So there's some things there to build on.
Yeah, just on that power play, you know, you talked a lot about entries, but that was a pretty clean entry that ends up leading to that goal. How did you see just maybe the work of the power play?
Michael Backlund's unit, I think they've been pretty consistent with us. They haven't been able to score, but I think they've generated some chances. I was happy that our other unit scored, because sometimes that's what it needs to get them going again. They're squeezing sticks a little bit too much right now, and at times it can lead to like a disjointed looking power play. So I'm glad they were able to score tonight.
When you look at just a three-game road trip, you got three of a possible four, and how you have to approach that last one to turn you know, a good road trip into a great one.
It's the most important game for us now, right? So you always want to leave home or leave a road trip above 500. So we're in the middle of a tougher stretch of games right now, and the guys have competed and they've worked. And the best thing for our group is to get right back at it and make sure that our effort is the best that we've seen all year.
Overtime, I know it can be back and forth, but you had your looks.
We had our chances. There was a post. There was a few grade A chances for us, and a little bad break at the end on our part, and that's the way it goes. So you really want to finish when you have those opportunities. But as I said, it was a game that I thought was a harder game. There wasn't a ton of room out there, yet there were still some scoring chances both ways. So I thought our guys did a good job tonight.
That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game tonight in Boston, and a heck of a night for Nazem Kadri as well. Thought he was pretty engaged, thought he and his line with Zeri and Kuzmenko was pretty on it all night long, and he ends up scoring the last goal for Calgary that gets this game to overtime. Kadri picking up his fifth of the year at 9:55. He holds it, and you thought he might be passing and eventually shoots it, beats Korpisalo on the other side, ties this game 3-3. Let's hear from Nazem Kadri post-game tonight as well.
Just some of the disappointment to having once again battled back in a hockey game and just to maybe not get that second.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's frustrating not to close it out, but, you know, we'll take that point. That was a great fight by us in a tough building. Coming back from a two-goal deficit, that's, I'm going to give us a lot of credit there. So it sucks not being able to finish it off, but we'll take that point.
When you look at that third period, I know you talked about it just this morning about the resiliency of your group, but how confident are you when you go into in a period down that you can find a way?
Yeah, it's nice to show some, you know, poise and composure. I think that's, the key. Obviously on the road, you could start forcing things or you could just kind of stick to your game plan, and that's exactly what we did. Made a couple great plays to come back into the game, and, just an unfortunate bounce to end it.
Power play obviously gets that first one to get, as soon as the third period starts, less than a minute in. What kind of spark did that give you?
Yeah, that was huge. That's what got us going. So, finally our PP kind of showed some life, and, it wasn't pretty at times, but sometimes you just got to grind through it and, found the back of the net. That was a huge goal in the game.
Just maybe a thought on your goal coming down the ice and kind of what you're seeing. I think it's Andre driving wide, but yep. What are you looking at?
Great back check, great gap by the defenseman to start the play. Got a high flip there. Wasn't quite sure where that was going to land, but was able to track it down. And, Kuzi did a great job kind of drawing the defenseman over and just tried to make a play and pick my corner, and it went in.
That is Nazem Kadri post-game this evening following a Flames 4-3 overtime loss in Boston. Ryan Huska, Nazem Kadri from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's get to the text line at 960-960 on our Flames Talk post-game show this evening. Text line wide open for you, as is our as are the phone lines at 403-240-4444. This reads, that was an exciting one, Pat. It's a good feeling taking the big bad Bruins to overtime, and that was an exciting 3-on-3. Wolf was unbelievable tonight, proving everyone that he deserves to be in the NHL. Zary looked like the fastest and most talented player out there on most shifts. We faltered at the end of overtime, unfortunately, but I'm proud of our performance overall tonight. Wasn't perfect, but lots of positives to focus on. That comes from Scotty in Victoria. This reads from Dylan in Revelstoke. You know how I feel about Kadri, but he can do that to Nikita Zadorov any day, even if it was an insanely selfish play. You know what, though? Being selfish in the NHL isn't a bad thing. I think Alex Ovechkin has, you know, I think Alex Ovechkin has made a Hall of Fame career out of being selfish. And like, I don't look at it as a bad thing. Guys who like to keep it. I mean, Nazem Kadri is a Stanley Cup champion and a leader on this team and one of the most important players on this team based on the way that he plays. And if that means that he keeps it, if that means he likes to have the puck on his stick, if that means he doesn't defer and likes to hold it more often than not, so be it. That's what has got him to this level. That's what has got him to being a future Hall of Famer potentially. So like, I don't have a problem with him being quote unquote selfish. I really don't. Especially at the NHL, like, be true to who you are as a player. David Pastrnak doesn't pass very often when he's got great shooting opportunities. And when he does, he makes kind of silly decisions and doesn't stay true to who he is. And so Kadri doing what he does, I'm all for that because that's who he is as a player. He's 34 years old. He's, you know, been in this league for almost 15 years. I think him doing what he does is okay. And I'd have no problem with him continuing to do that if I'm being perfectly honest. Okay. What else we got here on the text line this evening? This from Kyle. I caught the last bit right as Kadri scored. I don't know what most of the game was like, so I'm going based off the last half of the third. I have to ask, what was Anderson doing at the end? He gets taken off the puck, gets his pocket picked, then watches as Marchand shoots, gets the rebound, continues to watch. Sorry, I lost my place there. Continues to watch. This thing jumps around. Continues to watch as Marchand shoots, gets the rebound. He's been off his game the last few games. I'm sorry, this text is jumping all over on me. Let me just restart that paragraph. I have to ask, what was Anderson doing at the end? He gets taken off the puck, gets his pocket picked, then watches as Marchand shoots, gets the rebound, continues to watch while Marchand scores. He's been off his game the last few games. I'm all for shooting more, being more offensively aggressive by him, but he's making rookie mistakes, and that last one, just not good. Not good at all. I loved watching Kadri's goal. Just undresses Zadorov. No one can say Kadri doesn't want to be here. You don't play with that kind of emotion scoring a goal if you're checked out. That was great to see. Not much else here, Pat. Thanks again, Pat. That comes from Kyle. No problem, Kyle. Always appreciate you being a part of the program. What else we got here at 960-960? This from Mitch. Pat, I feel bad for Wolfie on that one. Feel like he deserved better. Speaking of Wolfie, do you think he has a legit shot at winning the Calder if he continues to play so well, or will it be harder just because he's a goalie? If he continues like this, I think Calder Trophy is very much in the conversation. Whether or not he wins it or not, I don't know. I believe Steve Mason, that's like 15 years ago, Steve Mason, the last guy to win the Calder as a goaltender. So I don't know what his actual chances are of winning it, but to be in the conversation, to maybe be a finalist, if he continues the way that he has here, I don't think there's any reason to doubt that he could be a part of that conversation, honestly. And I also agree with you, Mitch, that I felt like he deserved better in this game tonight. I thought that he played himself a pretty solid game, all things considered, and you know, maybe got a little bit out of sorts on the Hampus Lindholm goal early on, maybe got himself a little bit running around on that goal and slid a little bit too much, but then thought he was dynamite from that point forward. You know, I thought that the second period, third period, I mean, first of all, the two goals that are scored in the second period, not on him. And I thought he made some huge stops in that third period to make sure nothing else got past him. So to make sure this thing got to overtime, he was dynamite in overtime and even made that great stop on Marchand in overtime. Yes, Marchand got the rebound and scored the game winner, but he was also left all alone by himself after Rasmus Anderson lost that battle. I want to go back to Kyle's text quickly. I was just so happy to get through it without it jumping around on me. But yes, Rasmus Anderson got beat and got beat soundly on that overtime winner. Lindholm, you know, definitely beat him big time behind the net, and that allowed Marchand all the time in the world to score. And, you know, Backlund was kind of leaving the zone because I don't think he expected that battle to be lost as soundly as it was behind the net. But that happens. That doesn't. I don't really have much negative to say about the way Rasmus Anderson's played this year. Honestly, he's been really good for him. He's been one of their most important players. And I thought, you know, I thought he was actually really good in the game against Montreal. And he and Ball have really started to pick up some good chemistry with one another. This from Ash, who says, another epic third period for the Flames. Regarding Hunt being called up, I couldn't be happier. To me, he's a very decent bottom six forward and played well at times last year when elevated. What are your thoughts on the current streak of healthy Jake Bean scratches? I personally don't think it helps his confidence and strongly believe the Flames need to explore trading Hanley or Barry to a team like the Islanders who need D-men desperately. I mean, do I think that a D trade with the Islanders could make some sense? Sure. Do I think that Bean probably should get back into the lineup at some point? Yeah. I know Tyson Barry scored his first goal tonight, but thought he struggled for the first time in a little bit. Maybe this could be a night where you take Barry out for the Buffalo game and put Bean back in. Jake Bean's been scratched here for a little while in a row, and I think he probably should get back into the lineup at some point in the not-so-distant future. This from Tim and Moose Jaw, who says, Pat, I think I disagree with Mick, even though I see your point about the Flames always chasing. The way I look at it, the Flames are comfortable playing in the third, being down by a goal or two, and they know that if they stick with their game, they're confident it'll come back to win. What are your thoughts? Only thing I would say about that, Tim, is you're still going to lose more often than you win. Chasing is harder than playing with the lead. You ask any player, not only is it physically taxing, but it's mentally taxing. I'm going to defer to Mick on both of them because she's been in those situations. I haven't. You know, my beer league and ODR experience is probably not going to translate as well to the NHL as opposed to, you know, three-time Olympic gold medalist or two-time Olympic gold medalist. I think that I'll defer to her. And honestly, you talk to enough players about what happens when you're chasing in games and how much more difficult it is to play from behind as opposed to playing from ahead. And then the odds just aren't in your favor either. I mean, even though the Flames have been able to come back and win a few games, they're still 1-4-0 this season when trailing after 40 minutes of play. Now they'd be 1-4-1 on the season, but it's not your ideal circumstance, right? This comes from Seth, who says, all the way up to the top, Pat, I was only able to catch the end of the game, but a couple of things really stood out. Zeri keeps exceeding my expectations. He looked downright menacing on some of those rushes. When was the last time the Flames had a player who deked and toe-dragged like that at speed? Johnny was always more of a shifty horizontal mover, more than a slick deeks kind of guy. Rest in peace. Kadri has such dramatic highs and lows to his games. Scores the game-tying goal. That is an ugly giveaway in overtime. He has a first thought, best thought approach to hockey that can get him in trouble, but makes him very dynamic. All in all, he definitely does more good than harm. Win or lose, these games have been fun to watch. Thanks for working hard and have a good show. That comes from Seth. As the texts keep rolling in at 960-960 on this Thursday night, this says, Pat, I wanted to discuss Miramanov's performance and question how much leeway he currently has. He made some questionable plays recently, particularly one where Pasternak slipped behind him at the Bruins' blue line. Miramanov looked back, clearly saw him, yet didn't make an effort to cover, leading to a breakaway. I feel like he might need to take a seat so they can give Bean a chance so he doesn't seem deserving of being a scratch every game right now. And maybe, you know, maybe if it's not Barry who comes out to get Bean back in, maybe you can take Miramanov out. The only problem with that is then what do you do on that second pairing with Uyghur? I mean, I guess you could put Bean with Uyghur and move Uyghur over to the right side, but he's played on the left side all season. I guess you could put Pahal with Uyghur and try that again. and maybe go Barry and Bean as your third pairing. Those are some of the options. So I guess there are some things you could do in that regard as well. Okay, keep the text coming at 960-960. Flames fall by a 4-3 score in overtime here on this Thursday night. Flames Talk postgame shows underway. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. It's time to get to the phone lines. 403-240-4444 on this Thursday night. It is Scott kicking us off on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Scott?
Not much, Patty. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
First of all, I thought the game was a really solid game. Loved Wolf's performance. So my question might seem a little cynical compared to that. But I don't know. It just feels like the last 15 years, this team has always been a chasing team, and we always have higher goal scoring stats in the third period. Like, is that more of just like a cultural thing, or is it just, I don't know how else to describe it, because it doesn't matter who the coach is, who the players are. It just seems that more often than not, we're a chasing team and have higher third period goal stats, and either it'd be a slow start or just whatever, just can't seem to
put
a full 60 together.
I think there's a few things. I mean, if you go back to the 21-22 season, that was not the case. All they did was play with the lead that year, right? So, like, it's not like a, it's not a always thing, but definitely last two seasons.
There's a few outliers, but like more often than not, most seasons, it's like playing catch up in the third.
Well, here's what I would say to that, because I think the main thing that you could point to in that regard is the fact that, you know, in a lot of those years, they've been non-playoff teams, and a lot of the time a non-playoff team will be, you know, they'll be trailing more often than they're leading. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's kind of more of a symptom as opposed to the actual disease. I think so right now the Flames are they've played from behind the ninth most in the NHL after tonight's game. So almost just over 345 minutes they've played while trailing so far this year. So that is the ninth highest amount in the NHL. And then in terms of time leading this season, they're 30th at just 147.55. So it's you know, I think, again, this is a team that we pointed to coming into the season as maybe a group that, maybe a group that doesn't have playoff hopes, or it's going to be in tough to make the playoffs, or whatever the case may be. And so I think that could, again, be a symptom that sometimes you're just trailing more often than, sometimes you're trailing more than you're leading. And I think that's why maybe in some recent years that's been the case.
But even years where we had like Gaudreau, Monty, kind of in the early, when, like, we had talent and skill, but there are still a lot of seasons where kind of the general MO was either a slow start or whatnot, but just you had to battle back through the game to get back in it.
Right. And I think that is more of a comment on them just not being a really strong team over the, more often than not in seasons, haven't been a strong team over the last 10 years or so. That would be the way I would answer. That's about all I got for you in terms of an answer.
Awesome. Sounds good, Patty. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
No problem. And I do apologize for rambling, having some technical difficulties in the studio. So
hey,
trying to do
about
700
things. I love when you ramble,
man.
It's what you do best.
Sometimes I'd like to ramble less, like that one where I was distracted by about 17 different things. So I do apologize. But that is my best answer, Scott, in terms of, like, I don't... Because teams are different every year. I don't think it's a coaching thing. I don't think it's a mindset thing. I don't think it's like a bad leadership thing. I think I think you go take a look at the teams that have led the least this year. They're all some of the worst teams in the NHL. Now, Calgary is an above 500 team and in a playoff spot. And so, you know, they've been able to outperform the amount of times or the amount of minutes they've led this year. But I do think it's more of a symptom thing. If you're not as strong a team like they weren't last year, they weren't the year before, you spend more time trailing than you do leading. That's my best answer to it, in terms of like any actual reason for it, like specific reason for it, you know?
It kind of sounds like our Anaheim Ducks curse. There's no real answer for why it happens. It just did.
Yeah, fair enough. Good stuff, Scott. I appreciate the call, man. Call back anytime.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Have a good night.
You too, man. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Lots of lines open. Got a couple if you want to chat some Flames hockey on this Thursday night. Let's say hello to George. What's up, George?
Not much, my man. What's up with you?
Not much, buddy. Just doing the post-game show.
Good, good. Hopefully the technical issues get solved over there. But I tell you what, every time, whenever it does happen, man, you guys handle it like a pro. It's beautiful.
We try anyway.
That's all you can do is try, right?
Sorry, say that again, George.
Hey, man, that's all you can do is try.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, Connor Zeri is quickly becoming my favorite player to watch on this team. His skill level is through the roof, and it feels like at any time he can make a highlight reel play and score a highlight reel goal. It's just he's been definitely one of the bright spots to watch this year. It's funny because you're always afraid of that dreaded sophomore slump, but it seems like that's not his MO this year. He's totally avoiding that.
Yeah, you know where, and I don't know if Martin Pospisil is going through the dreaded sophomore slump, but he has not had as strong a year in year two compared to what we've seen from a guy like Zeri. And I'm not saying that Pospisil, there's any reasons for it or he's to blame for it, whatever. It happens, and I think there are some actual reasons, and I think trying him at center and all that type of stuff, trying not to take penalties, I think there's a lot that's going through Pospisil's head. But one thing that I know on Zeri is that he entered the summertime knowing that it can be tougher in your second year. And he had guys like Rasmus Anderson and others in his ear saying, hey, great first year, just be ready because year two can be really difficult. And now all of a sudden the league is a little bit more aware of what you're able to do, and you're no longer this upstart rookie that nobody has a book on. So I think that there is a little bit of the preparation that went into Zeri mentally into the offseason. He worked his tail off. He worked even harder on his skating, and he worked even harder on his conditioning and all that type of stuff so that he could be in a spot where, you know, the quote-unquote cliche sophomore slump doesn't end up, getting the better of him. And I'm with you. So far through 14 games, that has not been an issue. He's looked very, very strong. I know he doesn't pick up a point tonight, but he was dynamic all night. He now has 8 points in 14 games, so he's kind of a little ahead of pace from where he was last year. It's been a really solid year for him, and it's a promising thing to see, no doubt.
For sure, and actually he and one other player I've noticed, it seems like they skate a lot faster, is Coronado. I think those two, their skating in general has improved, but they seem, I don't know, is it me? They seem faster.
Oh, for sure. I think Zeri has just gotten better throughout his time. Even last year, you could see him get better in terms of his skating. And, you know, that was one of the things that was a real knock on Zeri's game coming out of junior, even when they drafted him in the first round. That was one of the knocks on him, was that he was a guy that was, you know, skating is not where it needs to be. And so, you know, some guys work on it. Some guys take that to heart and make the improvements. Some don't. And Zeri did, and worked a ton with Daniel Fujita, who's just the absolute best in the business. And he was noticeably faster last year than he was the year before in the American League, and is noticeably quicker and better on his edges and just better skating than he was this year. And for Coronado, same thing. He worked very, very hard with Danielle this summer, knew that he needed to work on his skating, knew that he needed to work on his kind of that burst speed and to get to pucks and to get himself into better shooting areas. And so far that's worked as well. I mean, they've got a hell of a skating coach on their hands.
Oh, 100%. I think two gigantic strengths in the organization right now are the skating coach and the goaltending coach, actually the whole goaltending
department,
unit or organization,
yeah,
if you will. They have done such a phenomenal job. I mean, you look at the two goalies we got with the Flames in Vladar and Wolf, and then the two goalies we got down in the A right now, Ignatieff and Cooley. I mean, Cooley's just lighting it up, right?
Yeah, I think
down
he's,
right there.
I mean, he's above 90.
You said
now,
it, you know, before they even signed him, I remember that you had brought it up, that they were looking at him and they brought him in. And now you see why. I mean, they've done an excellent job with the goaltending position in particular, too. That's really good to see.
Cooley is 7-2 with a .953
in the American League right now. He's stupid how good he's playing down there.
And speaking of which, let's give a little bit of love to the Wranglers. I know it's a Flame show. We don't talk about the Wranglers enough, though. I mean, they're 11-2. They won 9 in a row. And even the game they lost to the Condors 2-1 to break that streak, like, you know, they didn't play their best game. But, you know, Hanzik scores a goal there with about 39 seconds left. They almost come back and tie that one, too. And then they hand the Condors their lunch the next game 4-0 to kind of get back on their winning ways. Got to give Trent Call and his staff a lot of credit for what they're doing down there. I honestly thought, Patty, the Wranglers were going to be a lot worse this year. They lost, you know, a lot of players. They lost Wolf. But, you know, they replaced him with Cooley. Ignatieff's have been a great backup to this point. So many players have played so well down there. Dryden Hunt, I know there's a lot of consternation about his call-up, but the guy's earned the call-up. If you look, he's pretty much a point-a-game player down there. He's always been a solid depth player for this team ever since we've acquired him. So I don't know where the consternation for the call-up, you know, there is. Hanzik, from all accounts, has looked pretty good down there. You know, Clark Bishop has been awesome. Just so that's a really good story, and I hope it continues because, honestly, the way the Wranglers are going, and I know it's early, they have a legitimate shot to, you know, to vie for a Calder Cup this year.
I mean, absolutely they do. I mean, what are they? They're 9-2, and what are they? 10-2 now. So yeah, they look like a pretty red hot wagon down there. They're getting contributions up and down their lineup. They've got good vets. They've got good young players. It's a good story, and it's why they had a lot of players to choose from to come up for Mantha here. We'll see what the Mantha prognosis is when it's all said and done. It feels a little ominous right now, just that we haven't gotten any real updates and still being evaluated, but we'll wait and see what that ends up looking like. But, you know, I have no problem with them going to Dryden Hunt, because not only is Hunt a guy that can jump in and give you good depth, but, you know, he's also a guy that you can healthy scratch and not, you know, feel overly worried about how it's going to mess with his development, right? So I don't mind Hunt as the guy coming up. I think that there's a lot of wisdom in it. He's been good when he's come up and been in the NHL lineup before. And to your point, he's also earned it in the American League. That's the other thing. I don't understand why there's all these people upset about it being Hunt. I mean, he also has earned it. He's been one of their best players in the American League. I know he's 28 and not 22, and that everybody wants only young players, or some people want only young players recalled, but it doesn't always have to work like that. I mean, he's earned it the same way Karens or Pelche or Dewar or anybody else would have earned it. He's been one of their best players down there.
100%. And I'll say this too, the newly named captain down there, Clark Bishop, down the road, he got a call up. I wouldn't argue with that either. That guy's been heart and soul. There's a reason they gave him the C, and he's been great down there for him too. So it's, my point to all of this too is the depth, the bottom six depth that this team has actually built is very strong. And I know people will say, oh, like, who cares? You know, one day when this team, you know, can contend, hopefully for a cup, what is the most important thing everybody tells you? Depth, depth, depth. They have that in spades right now. Hopefully they'll continue to have that. Obviously, we know what this team lacks, right? It lacks centers. It lacks high-end centers. Yeah. And it lacks, you know, elite players. But hopefully with Conroy's plan, that will come to fruition. But I feel like Conroy, one of the things he's done really well is accumulating depth. Like, and you see it, and there's a reason why the AHL team is so good, and there's a reason why you have so many viable options to call up if you get into injury trouble. And honestly, that's a positive thing that I look at it this season. It's one of the things that makes me happy to see with this organization in general.
Yeah, I mean they've been able, and I mean, what I like is that it's also, for the most part, young depth. I mean, certainly young depth on defense, and that is a real positive. But it's generally that they've got some good young forward depth, so that also is the positive. It's not just a bunch of 31-year-olds. It's you know, some guys that are younger and who still have upside, and that's a positive too.
Yeah, absolutely, my friend. Hey, I had a great time having this conversation with you tonight, my friend. I hope you have a good night. Very likely we won't speak for the Buffalo game because those afternoon games are, I'm working during those times. It's pretty much impossible for me to even watch them live. So But in the event that we don't speak then after the Buffalo game, we'll definitely talk very soon after that. So I hope you have a good night.
Okay, George, you be well, buddy. Appreciate the call. 403-240-4444 is your phone number following a Flames 4-3 overtime loss on the road in Boston tonight. Jordan is up next. What's going on, Jordan?
Oh, hey, Pat. I'm just watching football now that the Flames are done. But, yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good, bud.
Good, yeah. No, I want to call and just say it was an exciting overtime to watch. Obviously, unfortunate last play there, but I was sitting on my couch. I'm on the edge of my couch. I'm like, oh, my God, we got so many chances. It was lots of fun. I mean, obviously, always just not disappointed, but I'm happy with a win, but thought it was good how the guys played hard. They usually do. And I've got a weird guy. I know we've been talking about Connor Zary and he had an amazing game, you know. But I thought Justin Kirkland seemed like he had the lowest minutes on the team. But it just seemed like when he was out there, he was just really effective. And, you know, you could hear his name from the announcers and you like to hear that. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just seemed like a guy that was noticeable and effective for us.
I thought he was okay, and I thought he was fine. You know, he kind of got beat by Pastrnak on the 2-1 goal down the boards, and then Ball had to kind of try to bail him out, and that led to the 2-1 goal. So probably a little bit too easy for his man to get by on that play. But generally, I think Kirkland's been just fine. I think they are quite happy to continue having him on this roster and continue having him play the minutes that he is. And, you know, he's been, for a guy in his role, he's been pretty darn productive too. That's another point for Kirkland tonight. He picks up the assist on the game-tying goal in the first period from Tyson Barrie.
Yeah, no, it's pretty sweet. And then also, I didn't know if anyone would mention it before, and a couple of people have mentioned it, but I'm calling up Dryden Hunt. I know we need people on Twitter to watch Flames or listen to Flames Talk or something, because everyone on there, I don't know, they're so negative about it, and it's just like, I don't know, I'm listening in the afternoon to you and, was it Wes?
This week it's been Vickers.
Vickers, yeah, okay. Yeah, you and Aaron were talking about it earlier. And I'm like, you guys know what you're talking about. I know people got Twitter fingers and they can say what they want about, oh, Conor wants to go young and why are they bringing him up? But it's like, he's got a plan and they know what they're doing. Like, I think people just need to be patient and need to understand that these NHL execs know what they're doing and they know how to run a team.
Well, again, they also, I mean, we're also talking about a guy who's kind of earned the recall too, Jordan. I mean, he's played really well down there. And I know that, again, he's not young, but I mean, it's still like they still are trying to do things on merit in the organization too. So, you know, he's a guy that can jump in and play any role that you need on the team. He's decent at it. Look, he's not as exciting as a Rory Karens. I grant you that. And I'm not suggesting or a Jacob Pelche. He's not a draft pick of the team, all that type of stuff. But I do think that it's important to point out that he's also a much better candidate to sit out as a healthy scratch than one of those guys would be as well. And you're probably talking about a fourth line role for whoever's coming up. Let's assume that Mantha's out for a little bit here. And that's going to be, you know, Pospisil is going to be the guy who gets moved up the lineup for now. You're probably looking at Rooney and Lomberg and Kirkland being ahead of a guy for a little bit. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a problem with them going Dryden Hunt. I think he's the perfect guy to call up in this situation, if you're asking me.
Oh, exactly. No. And yeah, I'm happy. And like you guys were talking about, I think yesterday you were talking about, oh, who are they going to call up? And of course, some of those young guys are exciting, but like you guys are saying, let them cook down there, let them keep doing good things and bring up a guy like Hunt to just come in and fill the role that you need him in.
Well, yeah. And I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, Karens is in his first ever year in the American League, but he's having success like this at the American League level for the first time. And so I think for a guy, I think it'd be a pretty big wake up call or adjustment to make to all of a sudden be playing in the NHL with as little pro experience as he has and as little success like this at the American League level. Like, let him keep on building the confidence. And the other thing is, he's playing center in the American League. He's not going to be playing center on the NHL team. Let him keep on developing at his natural position, especially knowing how thin this team is for centers. I just, now's not the time, if you ask me, to bring Kerens up. I think it makes way more sense to bring up a guy like Hunt or had they gone Doer or somebody else.
Yeah, of course. No, I think it's a great pick and great thing that the Flames are doing. And then, you know, hopefully Matt will be back. You know, never wish that on anyone. So hopefully he'll be back and stronger soon. And yeah, I think that's all I got to say tonight.
All right, buddy. Good stuff, Jordan. Good to hear from you as always, hey?
Thank you, Pat. Have a good rest of the night here.
You too, man. We'll talk soon. 403-240-4444 is your phone number following a Flames 4-3 overtime loss in Boston. Got a couple of lines open if you want to chat on this Thursday night. 403-240-4444. Let's say hello to Parsons. What's up, Parsons?
Mr. Steinberg, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you. I like that game. It was a good game.
It was a good game.
Well-fought game.
I thought it was pretty even. I thought it could have gone either way. I think probably a little too wide open for both teams' liking. But, yeah, I thought it was a fun game.
Yeah, and Coronado almost got another overtimer.
Yeah, that was a heck of a save Corpusalo made. You know, I thought Corpusalo was pretty rough in this game. I mean, I still don't know how that Barry goal goes in, but made a couple of big stops in overtime that, you know, allowed his team to eventually pick up the win.
Yeah, and that's all that matters. You make the save when it counts. But, hey, I didn't know that you wrote articles for CFL.
Absolutely. I have been for the longest time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I finally saw one today. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know Pat did that.
I'm sure
the four Argos that could change things.
Yes, on Saturday's Eastern final.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay. That's.
I'm a huge CFL guy. I love the league. I love the players. I love the product, and so. I'm actually heading to Grey Cup. I'll be there next week, so I won't be doing the Nashville game on Friday as I'm heading off to Grey Cup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. I think you were doing about as well as I was in that CFL pool.
For the pick'em?
I did not do good in that. My last few weeks bombed. But anyways,
I had to have a big time. I had to have a big time late season rally just to finish above 500. I was so bad.
I saw you floating there. Yeah. That's cool. Good for you. I thought it was a really good game. I thought, Wolf had himself another really good, solid game. I think it's safe to say at this point, Pat, and I don't want to speak, you know, too early, but I mean, he looks like a legit, obviously NHL goalie, and he's actually, I think he's just getting better and better by game. So, it was nice to see him get two starts in a row, which was nice because Vladdy had
deserving too. I thought he really deserved that start tonight, and they probably go to Vladar on Saturday in Buffalo, especially with back-to-back games Monday, Tuesday, not a little bit of a shorter turnaround from tonight into Saturday. Like, you probably go Vladar against Buffalo, but I think so.
And so I kind of heard you talking about this with George earlier, but do you think Pospisil is having a little bit of an identity crisis? Like, do you think this is part of his slump? Because, you know, because when he went to the Worlds during the summer, like, he seemed to be like Mr. Everything there and a scorer. And I just feel like he's like, I don't know if he's holding back. He's not trying to get in trouble. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
I do. And I think I think there's a few things at work there. I think there's two things, honestly, at work that I think are maybe making it difficult for him to just be the natural guy that he was last year. Or maybe three. Number one is that the rest of the league is aware of who he is, including the officials, which plays into number two. I think the Flames have really been on him to try to limit the amount of penalties that he's taking. And as a result, I think there is a bit of an identity crisis there, because for him to play his brand of hockey, and for him to be his most effective at his brand of hockey, he's got to be on the edge, and he's got to be, you know, going over the line or towing the line on a regular basis. And when you do that, you're going to take the odd penalty. And every once in a while, one of those odd penalties is going to be one that really hurts your team, and one that comes at a really bad time, like the one against the Oilers on Sunday night, for instance. And so, you know, I think that would add to the identity crisis. And then the whole center ice experiment, I think, also had him thinking a little bit too much, and had him, you know, now all of a sudden he's playing center ice, which he's played in the USHL and he's played at the international level, but he's never played at the NHL level. And there is an added level of difficulty playing that position at the highest level in the best league in the world. And I think there is some adjusting and some learning curve that goes along with that too. And so all those things combined, I think maybe there is a little bit of what am I, how do I be effective? You know, I don't want to take penalties. And sometimes when you're thinking about not taking penalties, then you take the penalties. I think all of it kind of rolls up into a ball. And I do think there's a little uncertainty in terms of what he is as a player. And that's why I said this on one of the recent roundtables. I think it was actually on Monday this week, coming out of the game against Edmonton. Like, I worry a little bit about being too worried about the penalties he's taken, because then all of a sudden he's not as effective a hockey player, and he's not playing on the edge, and he's overthinking things. And then all of a sudden you're not getting the same guy that is such an impact maker and was such an impact maker last year.
Yeah. 100%.
I think it's affecting him on the forecheck. I think it's affecting him after whistles, all of that stuff.
All of that stuff. Who do you think is going to get him out of this? Do you think it's going to be ultimately up to him to get himself out of this, or do you think the coaching staff can help him out of this?
I think a little bit of both. Like, I think as a coaching staff, you can say, like, hey, just keep on being you, keep on being you, keep on being you. That could possibly help, but I think more than anything else, it'll be a him thing. It'll be him adjusting. And I mean, that's what we say. Like, sometimes there is a little bit of a bump in year two in the NHL because things get more difficult and because the opposition knows you that much better, so on and so forth. So, I think it will be ultimately up to him when it's all said and done.
Fair enough. What have you thought of Mira Manoff's year so far? Yes, I know he had a gaffe tonight, but I also kind of noticed him a little bit more on the rush tonight and stuff like that too, versus, you know, the previous game. So I thought he kind of took a little bit of a step up tonight, if I could say that. But what have you thought of his year so far?
Generally underwhelming, I felt, I think he's struggled more than he's thrived so far this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think we're going to trade any of these defensemen?
I think if they could find a taker for Hanley, they would. I don't think they want to lose him for nothing on waivers. I do think a team or two would be interested in claiming Hanley on waivers. I know that he hasn't played a ton this year, but, you know, everybody needs depth defensemen. And I think there are teams that would look at Hanley and say, yeah, he can jump in and play third pairing if need be. And he's a great guy to have as a 7-8 as well. So I think if the Flames could find a taker for Hanley, they would make that move, but we're still pretty early in the season. And even teams like the Islanders are maybe a little bit more inclined to wait injuries out at this stretch as opposed to making moves. You know, if we get into, once we get into December, January, and we're a little bit closer or past the midway mark, then that's when some of those moves, I think, become a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, for sure. Or closer to the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Especially when you're sitting on a plethora of defensemen. So it's not a bad situation to be in. So that's okay. I think that's about it. I thought Zuri had a good game again. Coronado, again, really good. I think he's coming back with a vengeance. Sorry. Good on him. Wolfie again looks great. So yeah, I'm glad to see them compete, man. Like, I hope we don't end up in the mushy middle again, but I'm happy to see them have success in the meantime. So it's only good for their morale, right?
And they do work their tails off. There's no doubt about it.
They do. All right, brother. All right, Parks, have a good night, okay?
Good stuff, man. Let's say hello to Anand at 403-240-4444. Flames lose 4-3 in overtime to Boston tonight. Anand, what's going on, bud?
Good evening, Fatty. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you. Good game tonight. I think they fought to the best of their ability. Once again, comeback Kings. Of course, we saw Sharangovich score a goal, Kadri score a goal. I think that would have been a great goal, especially for Kadri, because he hasn't had much of a great start to the season, would you say?
I mean, I thought Kadri's goal was real nice. I like the way that he held it. I like the way that he decided not to defer and just called his own number. Like, that's a time where, you know, big player with a puck on his stick at a big moment in the game, I'm all for him taking that shot 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I love that shot. Top right corner shelf. One other question for you. What did you think about the Huberdeau-Sharangovich possible line tonight?
Not super effective for most of the game, I felt. I didn't think they were bad, but I didn't think they were super effective. I thought they were maybe chasing a little bit in their own zone at times. In the offensive zone, they had some good stretches. And so I thought they were okay tonight.
Yeah, fair enough. And then one other question. Do you think, or do you agree with me that Rasmus Anderson had a tough game tonight?
He had a tough play on the last goal, like the overtime winner, but otherwise I didn't feel like he had a rough game necessarily.
All right, gotcha. And then finally, a couple other few easy questions. Do you think, so with the Dryden Hunt call-up, do you think he'll get slotted in the line anytime soon, or do you think he's just kept it spare for right now?
I think he'll probably get in. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they went Kirkland, Lomberg, Hunt on Saturday in Buffalo.
All right. That looks ideal to me. Yeah, that sounds good. And final question, just because how the goaltending has gone, I know you talked about maybe they'll start Vladar on Saturday, but I predict maybe they start Wolf just because how their road trip has gone. So far, he has been done amazing. And then they come back to Vladar on Monday against the Kings.
It's a quick turnaround. They want to keep both goalies fresh. My guess is they go Vladar. Like, I don't think there's a wrong answer necessarily, but you know, they want to keep both goalies fresh. They got three games in four nights. So I think they want to keep Wolf fresh too. So my guess is they go to Dan, but I don't really think there's a wrong answer. If it were me, I'd go back to Vladar too. But if they were to go to Wolf, I'd have no problem with it. My guess is they go to number 80.
Yeah, it's just the way the games have trended so far. I feel like we'll start, but we'll see how that goes on Thursday, on Saturday, I mean. And then,
the other thing is it's a quick turnaround, too. Like, it's a morning, it's a early game on Saturday. So my guess is it all kind of trends, especially because they didn't pick up the win tonight. It feels like it's trending Vladar, but who knows? I mean, these plans are not set in stone, and Jason LaBarber even said on a pregame show with Mick today, like, you know, they had a plan for the first 10 games and the rest is kind of up in the air. So I think it could go either way. It's just my guess would be they go to Vladar.
Yeah, fair enough. Alder, yep, Pat, sounds good. Thank you so much for answering my questions. And yeah, I'll be able to chat to you on Saturday because I don't work at my part-time job anymore, so most of my Saturday is free now. I just want to do a quick shout-out as well. The Rocky Mountain Classic tournament that's happening at Winsport this weekend, and doing a couple games on PA announcing. So some younger hockey talent that you would probably see in Calgary in the near future. So do check it out if you can. Just throwing a shout-out there. Otherwise, yeah, thank you so much, Pat. Have a good night, and talk to you on Saturday.
Okay, and be well, buddy. Hey, the phone lines are open. We're clear on the phone lines, so if you want to chat, give us a call now. You will not get a busy signal at 403-240-4444. Keep the text coming. Lots of text still to get to at 960-960 following tonight's 4-3 overtime loss to the Boston Bruins. To NN's point, I thought Dustin played well tonight. Like, I think if they were to go to him, like, I'd have no problem with it. It just feels like the way they've gone so far this year, back to Vladar against Buffalo on Saturday would be the move they would make, and probably the move I would go with. But I've quite liked Wolf. I think right now you want to keep both goalies as fresh as you can, because neither guy has you know, meaningfully outplayed the other. They've both been really good for them. They've both given you a shot, and so I think you want to keep both fresh. You got a back-to-back coming up on with travel on Monday, Tuesday. You've got the early turnaround for the Saturday game. Yeah, I just think you want to keep them both going at this point. Speaking of which, save of the game time brought to you by Shane Holmes. Dustin Wolf did get the start tonight, and his save of the game comes in period number 3.
And now here comes Marchand the other way. Drops it off to Elias Lindholm, the former Flame. Tries to give it back to the Bruins captain, and does. Marchand to Hampus Lindholm, driving the net. He shoots, and he's stopped by Wolf. What a save.
That ends up being one of the 34 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com. The better way to build. Another quality start for Dustin Wolf, who continues to give the Flames quality goaltending and just has given them an opportunity to win each and every night. His record drops to 4-2-1. His save percentage now at .906 on the season. So he's, again, given them opportunities to win. Just quickly pulling up the 5-on-5 save percentage for Dustin Wolf after tonight, because Natural Stat Trick updates real quick. So 5-on-5 right now, Dustin Wolf at a .942. So it does drop a little bit, but still one of the best save percentages at 5-on-5 in the NHL. That puts him, for goalies with 100 or more minutes played, puts him 7th overall in 5-on-5 save percentage at .942. Thought he gave him a chance in this game again. Maybe got a little overzealous and overcommitted on the first one. As you know, I'm the goaltending expert, so I would know about these things like overcommitting and such. I kid. I'm not the goaltending expert. But it looked like maybe he overcommitted, which got him a little bit sliding too much on the Hampus Lindholm goal to make it 1-0. But tough to fault him on either of the Zacha or Koepke goals. Kept a minute in the third period, kept a minute in overtime, and even made a high-end stop just before the overtime winner, which Brad Marchand gets the rebound on and wins. Solid night for Dustin Wolf between the pipes. Okay, last call for phone calls. If you want to chime in, now is the time to do so. 403-240-4444. Text line at 960-960. If you want to chat, call now. Phone lines are clear. We don't need to keep taking phone calls, but if you want to, you can get in line at 403-240-4444. Got plenty of text still to read. Couple more trips inside the Flames locker room as well. It's your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's coming at you live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan as well. This is Calgary Flames Hockey, our Flames Talk post-game on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It is your last call for phone calls on this Thursday night following a Flames 4-3 overtime loss in Boston. Flames Talk postgame, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, wherever you get your podcast. Hopefully you're having a wonderful Thursday or a Friday or whenever you're listening to it. If you're listening live or you're listening on the postgame, I just hope everything is going well. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Last call for phone calls. Text line 960-960. My name is Pat Steinberg. Couple more looks inside the Flames locker room. Another solid night for Blake Coleman as he continues to be all around it of late. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room. Blake Coleman spoke following this one tonight in Boston.
Just, I mean, obviously the fight, we've talked about it throughout the course of this season, but as you enter the third period, you know, what is the level of belief that you can fight your way back in one again?
We just feel like we're never out of a game, and we've proven it to ourselves time and time again that we can get back into games, and showed a lot of fight tying that up and getting it to OT.
Obviously some disappointment that comes with not being able to get the second point, but how did you see that overtime and just kind of the back and forth? There was a few chances there to end it too.
That's what 3-on-3 hockey is. It's just could have gone either way. Both teams had some good looks throughout the OT, and they get the bounce at the end, and it's the way it goes. But I think going down 3-1, going into the third and getting a point, you got to be happy with it.
When you look at just the ebbs and flows of this hockey game, how did you guys feel you managed, some of the adversity you did face as it went along?
It was good. Each team had their surges, and, I thought we played a pretty solid road game. We get the power play goal. No secret, our special teams got to be better, and, for the most part, we were pretty good tonight, and, that resilience has been a big part of our success, early in the year here, and it was the same story tonight.
What'd you make of Coronado's game tonight? Seemed like he was making something happen every time he was on the ice.
Yeah, he was great. Like I said, I think a week ago or so, I've really enjoyed playing with him, and he creates a lot of open ice and opportunity out there, and at the same time, he works hard and is responsible at both ends. So he's a great player already, but I'd imagine he's one of those guys that just will continue to get better and better for us.
Lastly, you just look at, three-game road trip. You got three of a possible four at this point. How quickly you reset now and trying to come home with as much as possible?
Yeah, I think, you need the win in this last game to feel great about the trip. And you take 5 of 6, you feel good about that on the road, obviously. So, we got a pretty quick turnaround with the day game. And now we just got to take care of ourselves and get ready to go.
That is Blake Coleman post game tonight. And our final look inside the Flames locker room. Let's check in with one of your goal scorers tonight. And Tyson Barrie scored his first goal as a member of the Flames. He tied the game 19 seconds after Boston took the lead early in the first period. Tyson Barrie post game in Boston as well.
I was just talking about obviously fighting back on the road the way you did and giving full credit to your group. What did you see in terms of the fight and finding your way to get back in this game?
Yeah, I think it just shows a lot of character. I think the guys have been doing it all year in the third period and, kind of never giving up and losing belief. And I think we have a belief in here if we play, the system we have and the way that we can play for 60, it'll wear teams down. And I think that's probably a bit of what you're seeing in the third periods.
Where do you kind of stand on the rest of the game in terms of just the flow and how you guys managed it?
Yeah, it was, they got the two quick ones and, you never want to give up. I think it was two in under a minute or something like that. So obviously that's not ideal. But again, credit to the guys for coming out in the third and getting two big goals to give us a chance. And, we had a chance to get two. And unfortunately, it wasn't the case. We had a few good looks in overtime. But, you got to turn the page. We got another big one in Buffalo coming up.
When you look at just the confidence, when you're sitting here in the second period, you're down two, but just what does that belief look like when you're heading out for the third period?
Yeah, I think you can feel it in the room. It's, I've been on teams and in situations where you're just kind of down, but in here, we're going for another period. We're going to go, try to get one in the first 10, and, it's just what happened. And then Nuss scores a kind of a beauty solo effort and a big goal. So, there's no quit, in between periods. It's just focus. We're going to go out and play the same way.
I know some disappointment knowing that you didn't get the second one, but as you look at a road trip here and the opportunity ahead of you, you got your 3 points and now looking at one last one. What does that present in terms of heading back home feeling good?
Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity for us to turn this into a great road trip. We got to go refocus and get to against Buff.
There you go. That is Tyson Barrie post game tonight in Buffalo. Okay, let's get back to the text line. Lots more text to get to on this Thursday night at 960. Starting with this, says Pat, fun game tonight. Lots of swings. Didn't like the slow start again or the turnovers, but I love this team's level of compete, both Goldie's ability to hang in and how all four lines contribute. This feels like a wild card team. Maybe not a playoff contender, They're losing a first-round pick to Montreal, and I'm not mad. You know, it's interesting because they improved to, so I guess they don't improve. They stay kind of where they were, two games above 500 at 7-5-2. They were two games above 500 coming into tonight. They'll exit two games above the NHL 500 mark. They currently sit third in the Pacific Division. At least as we're talking right now, Vancouver is playing Los Angeles as we're talking, so that might change. Fact of the matter is, Flames will stay in a playoff spot after this game tonight, and they sit with a 571 points percentage. Will that get them in when it's all said and done? May or may not. Last year's last Western Conference playoff team had a 598, so 571 wouldn't have got them in last year, but It's in and around where you need to be in the conversation. Now, if you go to some of the projection sites, you know, MoneyPuck, for instance, does not have them with a high probability of making it. But this team fights, this team works, and we'll see where the chips may fall. It's still early. They're still only 14 games into the season, so they're not even a quarter of the way through. Hell, we're not even at that magical U.S. Thanksgiving demarcation point right yet. I think there's still lots to play itself out. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep the, what the texter's talking about is if the Flames are losing a first round pick to Montreal, regardless. If the Flames finish in the bottom 10 of the NHL standings, though, they will transfer Florida's pick, which will probably be closer to 30 than it is to 10. They will transfer Florida's pick to Montreal as part of the Monahan trade from a couple of years ago. However, if the Flames are not in the bottom 10 and thus aren't picking top 10 at the NHL draft in June, they will transfer their pick. So even if they're number 11 overall in the draft order, that pick will move to the Montreal Canadiens and Calgary will instead take Florida's pick. So that's what that texter is referring to. But, you know, look, I mean, they compete. They never were going to completely blow it up or tank. And it was always going to be a situation where they were going to go out there, put the best lineup on the ice they could and see where the chips fall. And so far, that's what they've done through 14 games and they're two games above the 500 mark. This says at 960 from Rick in Lakeview. Entertaining game, Pat. Full marks for staying with it. Top line was great. First goal on Wolf was abysmal. So glad he was strong the rest of the way. Anderson's been excellent, but that was a nasty gaffe to lose the game. Bad place to hand the puck away during the 3-on-3 novelty circus. Keep it up, Flames. Great effort. And, you know, yes, was it a poor play, or did he lose the battle cleanly to Lindholm behind the net all day, every day? Yes, he did. Everybody makes mistakes, and that doesn't wipe out how good he's been for, you know, how good he's been for the Flames this year. This one from Ray, that was an entertaining game. Last year, the team's biggest crime was that they were boring. Not this year. They may not make the playoffs, but they're sure going to be fun to watch. You know, I was thinking that as the game was going along, you know, and I was actually thinking about starting the post-game show this way. Win or lose, this team is mostly entertaining. And has been mostly entertaining this year. Jeff in Lethbridge says, Zadorov played like a bottom pairing defenseman tonight. Glad they aren't paying him top four pairing salary. Yeah, that one worked out pretty well for him. This says, I love Wolf. Think he's the goaltender for the future. Thought the Flames played fantastic tonight. Too many giveaways from Kadri. I didn't see that from Kadri. I thought he was quite good tonight. This says, how is Huberdeau tonight? Up and down. Thought he had some very dynamic moments. Thought he had some frustrating moments as well. This says, I don't see how Miromanov hasn't scored yet. He had so many chances, so many clear looks tonight. He absolutely did have some clear looks tonight, but was unable to score. This says, every favorite I've ever had got traded. Latest has been Paul Byron was my boy, and they traded him. Bennett was my next boy. Now Hunt. I really, really like his play. If they dump him, I'm picking the $8.5 million man next. Who's the $8.5 million man? Anyway, talking about Huberdeau, he's $10.5 million. But Dryden Hunt, I think he's going to be a solid kind of fourth line guy for them if when they need him to get into the lineup. This from Vince. The growth of Wolf each game is awesome. He made some great saves tonight, kept the Flames in the game in the second period. Zeri and Coronado looking great. The growth of these young guys is promising for the Flames' future. Hoping for Pospisil to get his game going. The Flames' future looks great, and I love their work ethic. This from Ali, who says, what do you think Raz was trying to do there on the game winner? I guess he didn't realize he didn't have any support. I just think he was trying to win a battle with Elias Lindholm and lost the battle. And I don't know, probably didn't move it as quick as he would have liked, and probably in hindsight would have just moved that puck as opposed to engage in the battle. But he lost the battle clean. Backlund was already flying because he didn't think that battle was going to be lost. And next thing you know, there's Marchand all alone, and it's a 4-3 overtime win. Ian from Calgary says, regarding the first-round pick that has to go to Montreal, not a great option, but can they trade away their pick to guarantee that Montreal gets Florida's pick? This would mitigate the risk of giving up just a pick just outside of the top 10. Ian, I don't know the answer to that question. I really don't. I don't think so. I think they have to keep the picks because of the pre-existing conditions, but I don't know for sure. I really, really don't. Neil in the Northeast says, exciting game, and I'm glad they seem to take a step on the penalty kill. To answer your question for the first hour of Flames Talk, the Flames do miss Lindholm on the penalty kill to some degree. Have a good night. That's one thing we didn't mention on Flames Talk on Thursday afternoon. We did a whole segment on how much do the Flames miss Lindholm. Yeah, they probably do miss him on the penalty kill. He was quite good. Him and Backlund as a penalty killing duo were borderline elite together. And finally from Ben, who says, currently working away in Viva La Mac in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say you're doing an awesome job and love listening in every morning. How do you like Huberdeau so far? Also, Uyghur going after Zadorov after he hit Kuzmenko was awesome to see. I liked Uyghur barking at Zadorov and them barking back and forth at one another. That was pretty funny to see. I quite enjoyed that theater. Huberdeau, good start, frustrating since. He's had some good moments, he's had some bad moments, and it continues to be a pretty up-and-down situation for Jonathan Huberdeau. Great stuff on the text line at 960 so far, and a couple more phone calls before we wrap things up on our Flames Talk post-game show tonight. Final score, 4-3 overtime loss. Flames fall to the Boston Bruins. It's Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960, the Fan. Let's say hello to Dave on the phone line. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, Pat, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I just wanted to mention last year was a struggle watching the Flames as far as all the controversy with guys wanting to leave, and I know that's part of the business. It's so refreshing to see this team compete on a nightly basis and care for each other, and I love what I'm seeing. And the best part about it is the farm team is also strong. So the positive for this team moving forward, absolutely. It's going to take some time, and this is just my opinion only, but I have a funny feeling we're going to lose either Kadri or Huberdeau if you can. Obviously, you're going to have to eat some of that contract, but I think they're going to continue to build on the younger part, maybe get a couple pieces in that are going to be younger and take that extra two. You know, it's going to be probably, my opinion again, 1-2-3-year program. But I love it. I think they're going to get in. I really do. I think they might get a wild card. And it's a complete learning curve for these guys. And I think it's a fantastic opportunity. And I do think we'll lose a couple of the veterans. And you know what? That's okay.
When you say lose a couple of the veterans, what do you mean?
I think at the deadline, I think they're going to trade or move them.
It's going to be tough to move Huberdeau. I still believe that. If they're... I'll say this much. I don't think Craig Conroy is going to be hanging up the phone if somebody comes with a kind of knock your socks off type effort for any of his veteran guys. But I also don't believe Craig is going to be actively shopping any of his veteran guys. His belief is that guys like Kadri, guys like Uyghur, Coleman, Backlund, Huberdeau, and Anderson, those are kind of the six, that those guys are all crucial parts of getting from point A to point B. And right now they're in that transition phase of getting to point B, which is where they want to be competitive again and when they want to be contenders. And it's a 3 to 5 year plan. So I don't think Craig Conroy is going to be actively moving or actively trying to move any of his guys. That's for sure.
Okay. Okay. I just, you know, the positives that I'm seeing, just the big difference from last year to this year, as far as you can tell that they're a team and they get mad when they're down and they actually come together instead of making a bad player given. And one of the funny things I laughed at when our New Jersey goalie Markstrom was back in town and they started chanting his name and they panned to him and he was laughing underneath his mask. I thought that was classic from our fans.
It was good. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you for your time. I appreciate the call.
Hey, no problem, Dave. Be well. You have a great night, hey?
You too.
And that will wrap us up on the phone lines this evening. Great stuff on the phone lines. Great stuff on the text line tonight. Really appreciate it. Always awesome to chat with you on a Flames Talk post-game show. We will do it again on Saturday afternoon following Saturday morning's game against the Buffalo Sabres. Time for the final summary tonight. Here's how tonight's game went. Boston got this thing going, with a Hampus Lindholm goal at 2:04. Lindholm's third from David Pastrnak and Pavel Zacha to make it 1-0. However, 19 seconds later, Flames tie. Tyson Berry's first of the year from Ryan Lomberg and Justin Kirkland at 2:23. That would be Berry's first as a member of the Flames. So Berry 19 seconds after Lindholm, couple of D-man goals, 1-1 after 20 minutes of play. To the second period we go, and in a span of 31 seconds, this 1-1 tie turned into a two-goal Bruins lead. Starting with Pavel Zacha, he gets his 300th career NHL point with his second goal of the season to make it 2-1. David Pastrnak, the only assist at 8:25. And then 31 seconds later, Cole Koepke makes it 3-1 Bruins with his fourth from Charlie Coyle. Bruins in control after 40 minutes of play, up 3-1. But then a silly penalty from Brad Marchand in the first minute of the third period sends the Flames to the power play, and they cash in on it. Shot comes from Mackenzie Uyghur, redirected by Yegor Sharangovich for his second of the year. Sharangovich from Uyghur and Matt Coronado at the 58-second mark. Power play goal gets the Flames back within one. Then Nazem Kadri ties it just before the midway mark. His fifth of the year from Kevin Ball at 9:55. We had a 3-3 tie. Off to overtime we go. Back and forth. 3-on-3 went until a battle loss behind the net and a wide open Brad Marchand in front. So after he took the penalty that started Calgary's comeback, he scores the overtime winner. Marchand at 4:40 of overtime gets his fourth from Elias Lindholm to get us to our 4-3 final score. Final shots, 38-36 in favor of Boston. Calgary 1-for-3 on the power play tonight. Bruins go 0-for-2 on the man advantage. Your number, sorry, not your number, but your three stars tonight. Three stars this evening in the building were all Bruins, chosen by the Boston media. Number three, David Pastrnak, number two, Pavel Zacha, and number one, Brad Marchand. Your hardest working Flame, as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight, was Connor Zary. With the loss, overtime loss, Flames fall to 7-5-2. They're back in action on the road Saturday in Buffalo, while the Bruins improved to 7-7-1. They're back in action Saturday at home to Ottawa. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Ali Nan, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, as I mentioned, Saturday morning in Buffalo. Here in Calgary, it is an 11 a.m. puck drop, which means we'll be on the air at 10 o'clock Saturday morning with your Flames warm-up pregame show. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from Boston tonight. Flames fall 4-3 in overtime to the Bruins. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.